one which reached past her stiletto-booted ankles and trailed into a pool of dark fabric around her feet. The only thing it lacked was the matrix of rough patches which adorned Vadim's original. "I never pretended to deserve anything," I said, "although I do think the one thing I might deserve is an explanation. Can we take it as read that you and I almost met earlier this evening, except that there was a substantial bulk of fish between us, name of Methuselah?" "I was standing behind you," Zebra said. "If you saw me, you saw my reflection. It's not my fault you didn't turn around."
"You could have said something."
"You are hardly excessively loquacious yourself, Tanner."
"All right, can we start at the beginning?" I looked at Pransky, soliciting his permission as much as Zebra's. "How about I tell you what I think, and we take it from there?"
"Sounds eminently reasonable to me," said the little security expert. I drew in a deep breath, aware that I was committing myself further than at any point since my arrival. But here, now, it had to be done.
"You're working for Rivage," I said. "Both of you."
Pransky looked at Zebra. "He mentioned that name earlier. I don't know who he means."
"It's all right," Zebra said. "I do."
I nodded, feeling a paradoxical sense of relief. Resignation, I supposed. It didn't greatly comfort me to find out that Zebra was working for the man I had been sent to assassinate, most especially now that she had captured me. But there was also a defeatist pleasure in seeing one particular mystery cleared up.
"Rivage must have contacted you as soon as he got here," I said. "You're what? Some kind of freelancer? A security specialist in your own right, like Pransky here? It would make sense. You knew how to handle a weapon, and you were a step ahead of Waverly's people when they were hunting me down. The whole hunt sabotage story was just a screen. For all I know, you play it every night with the best of them. There. How am I doing?"
"It's fascinating stuff," Zebra said. "Please continue."
"You were detailed by Rivage to find me. He had a suspicion someone had been sent from Sky's Edge, so it was just a matter of putting your ears to the ground and listening. The musician was part of the operation as well. The frontman who trailed me down from the mendicant habitat."
"Who's the musician?" Pransky said. "First Rivage, now the musician. Do these people actually exist?"
"Shut up," Zebra said, "and let Tanner continue." "The musician was good," I said, "but I'm not sure whether I gave him enough to go on, whether I allowed him to establish beyond any doubt that I was the man he wanted, and not just some innocent immigrant." I looked toward Zebra for confirmation, but since none was forthcoming, I continued. "Maybe all the musician could tell Rivage was that I was still a possibility. So you kept tabs on me. Somehow you had contacts in the hunt movement, maybe connections with a group of genuine saboteurs, for all I know, and via Waverly you found out I'd been recruited as a victim."
"What is he talking about?" Pransky said.
"The truth, unfortunately," Zebra said, dispensing a withering look towards the security specialist, who was probably her subordinate, her understudy, or dog's body. "At least regarding the hunt. Tanner wandered into the wrong part of the mulch and got himself captured. He put up a good fight, too, but they might have killed him if I hadn't made it in time."
"She had to save me," I said. "There wasn't anything noble about it, though."
Zebra only wanted information. If I died, no one would be able to establish whether or not I'd really been the man sent to kill Rivage. That would put Rivage in an uncomfortable situation. He wouldn't be able to relax for the rest of his life. There'd always be the danger that the real assassin was closing in. A lot of sleepless nights. That's how it went, wasn't it, Zebra?"
"It might," she said, "if I happened to be colluding in your own delusions."
"Then why?"